Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning the Lui Nishmasa and the Zeichu Nishmasa, Miriam Frod, Miriam Baschai Mitzak Allah HaShalem. Her Neshama should have a continuous aliyah in the Olam HaNeshamot, and she should be a Melitza Yoshar for her family and for all of us who learn in her Zchus and in her memory. So I think I said last time we're going to go to the Medrash next time, Bli Neder, which is probably a good thing that I said, Bli Neder, because you never know what's coming. And I came across a teaching this week when I was actually preparing or looking over Parsha sources, and I didn't teach it in my Parsha class. It's extremely relevant, I felt, to the topic of the Shari Shir, and so I decided to share a different source with you this evening and a different topic. It relates to the topic that we have been studying under question, which is, how should we view the bad things or the difficult things that happen to us in life, which we have been spending so much time speaking about together? So I'm actually going to a pasuk from this week's parsha. It's a double parsha. It's Achrimos Kedoshim. And I'm going to a pasuk from Parshas Kedoshim. So the pasuk tells us in Parshas Kedoshim, which is full of mitzvos ben adam chaveiro, mitzvos that govern interaction between man and fellow man. So the pasuk tells us in Perek Yud Tes of Vayikra, pasuk Yud Ches, chapter 19, verse 18, Lo si kom velo si tor es b'nei amecha. You shall not take nakama, revenge, velo si tor, no shall you bear a grudge es b'nei amecha against fellow members of your nation. End of the pasuk is very famous. You shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself. I'm Hashem, ani Hashem. We are not going to be speaking about the second half of the pasuk, which is the v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha part. Amar Rabbi Akiva says, Rashi zel kol gadol b'Torah. Rabbi Akiva says this is a great principle in the Torah. We are going to be speaking about the first half of the pasuk. Lo sikom, you shall not take nakama. Lo sitar, you shall not take revenge. No, lo sikom, you shall not take revenge, velo sitor, you shall not bear a grudge against members of your fellow. So let us begin with Rashi. So Rashi says, what does it mean to take revenge, and what does it mean to bear a grudge? These are mitzvos lo tase, you shall not. So what does it mean? So Rashi says, amar lo, one man says to another, I'm quoting Rashi to Chumash, hish ilani ma golcha, lend me your sickle. Amarlo, the guy says, love, no. Lamachar, the next day, Amarlo, the guy comes to the one who says, lend me your sickle, and he says, no. Now Mr. No comes, and he says, Hashileni kar dumcha, lend me your hatchet. Okay, lend me your sickle, and I'm not lending you the sickle. The next day, the guy who needs a sickle comes, and he says, you know, lend me your hammer. He says, no, Amarlo. Eini mashiach, you think I'm going to lend it to you? Kederach shalo hi shaltani, you didn't lend it to me. I'm not lending it to you. Zohi nikima, this is taking revenge. I'm not lending it to you. You didn't lend it to me. What is bearing a grudge? It's a different mitzvah. Ve'ezahi nitira, and what is bearing a grudge? Amarlo, one man says to the other, Hishilani es kardumcha, lend me your hatchet. Amarlo, the second guy says, love, no. Same situation in the beginning. Lamachar, the next day, Amarlo, the second guy comes and he says, you know, Hishilani magacha, lend me your sickle. Amarlo, he says, hey lecha, here it is, ve'eni kemoscha, I'm not like you. I will lend it to you, even though you didn't lend it to me. Shaloi shaltani, you didn't lend it to me. Zohi netira, this is bearing a grudge. So you lend it to him, but you don't lend it besimcha, believe shalom, with happiness in a full heart. You lend it, what's the word in English? Begrudgingly. That's exactly what this love is. Shano ter ha'eva bilibo, he maintains the enmity, the hatred in his heart. So he doesn't take revenge. So Miser, you're going to be able to do the work in your house. You got the sickle, you got the hatchet, you got the hammer, the screwdriver, whatever you're asking for, but he doesn't lend it to you willingly. So taking nakama is, lend me your hammer. I'm not lending your hammer. My hammer, yesterday I asked for your sickle, you didn't give it to me. Taking a bearing a grudge is, I will lend it to you, even though when I asked you, you didn't lend it to me. So what does this have to do with our shir? And why did I choose to focus on this mitzvah, these mitzvos tonight, specifically for our Shari Chabura? Because we're going to go to the Sefer HaChinuch together. Here is my Sefer HaChinuch. When bad things happen to us in life, which is the topic under discussion for the past couple of months, their source is one of two ways. We perceive their source to be one of two ways. Sometimes it's by nature or directly by the hand of God. No one did anything to us. The event happened directly from Yad Hashem. whether you want to call bad good. That's something we've been discussing for a couple months, okay? No one did anything. It's directly from Hashem. For example, someone, Rachlan Alatzlan, becomes sick, okay, with a certain machla. No one did anything to you. I'm not talking about you worked in a factory and you had environmental poisoning, okay? Person became sick. They took care of their health. They exercised. They didn't smoke. They become sick. No one did anything to you. So you still have to struggle to see the good in the matzah, but there's no one on the other end. Then there's another category of nisyonos and bad things, whether you want to call them bad, good, whatever your madrigal, whatever your outlook. We've been through this. When someone did something to you, and they're an intermediary. You could still say it's all from Hashem, but someone did something to you. And when bad things like that happen, it's difficult not to take revenge or bear a grudge because you view that other person as having harmed you. So again, two categories of bad things that can happen to us. One is directly Yad Hashem. You can't be mad at it. You might be angry at the Ribbono Shel Olam. Excuse me. You might be afraid. You might be scared. You might be upset. You might be worried. But you recognize that this isn't anyone else's fault. And then sometimes someone can cause an event that really harms you. And there's someone on the giving end of that. And how should we view that event and what that person did? And how should we view that person? Because they too can be the catalyst for a bad event in our lives. So I am going to screen share the source with you. Okay, my sefer is right here. But I put it on my screen for you so we could share it this way. Could you see my screen? Yeah, thank you. Okay, my sefer is here, Sefer Chinuch. My Sefer Chinuch is Feldheim. Sefer Chinuch, Mitzvah, Reish Mem Aleph. Shelo linkom. You cannot take nekama. We already explained it according to Rashi. Shelo linkom, not to take nekama, not to take revenge. Remember, this is the one that I'm not lending you my hammer, you didn't lend me your sickle. That's taking revenge. Klomar, meaning to say, Shenimnanu midekachas nekama Yisrael. The Torah prevents us, we have been held back from taking revenge against a fellow Israelite. Ha'inyin hu, what is the matter? Kigon Yisrael, an Israelite. Shehera otsa'ar lechaveiro be'achar mikol advarim. So sickle and hammer is a small example. Maybe someone did something much worse to you than a sickle or a hammer or a hatchet. Like an Israelite, a person, shehera, he caused bad, ra, otsa'ar, or pain, lechaveiro, to one of his friends, be'achar mikol advarim, in any way. V'no ha'grav b'nei adam sheba'olam hu, the way of the majority of people in the world is, shelo yasu milichapes achar mishaharalahen. The way of the world is, you want to take nekama. You are not going to stop until you find that person who did bad for you, who did bad to you. And what are you going to do when you find them? Ad sheyigmaluhu kema'aseu hara. Until you pay him back, gomel chesed, in this case, it's not a gomel chesed, it's a gomel ra. You want to pay him back the bad that he did to you. O yach ivuhu kemo shechivam, or ko'ev, ko'evli, a beten, or you want to cause him pain like he caused you pain. In fact, the chinuch doesn't mention this here, but it brings to mind, not even when I was reading it, I just picked it up the first time, actually, because I saw a reference to this chinuch in a different sefer. And I was very interested in seeing the chinuch of the lashon of the chinuch inside. The Sefer Chinuch was written anonymously in the 1300s. It's a commentary and exploration of every mitzvah in every parsha. If you read the Hakdama, the author writes that he writes the Sefer, to give the children something to do on the long Shabbos afternoons. So it's a widely renowned Sefer that is widely accepted in the Torah world all over. And it explores every mitzvah in every parsha. And the first reason I went to read this is because when I saw it referenced in a different sefer, I was very interested in seeing the lashon of the chinuch inside, because what is our attitude and what is our attitude supposed to be when somebody harms us? So what brings to mind as I'm reading this now actually is the ir mikla. If somebody kills somebody else b'shogeg inadvertently, we actually give them a city of refuge to run to. Why do we give them a city of refuge to run to? Because what is natural for the goel adam, the redeemer of blood, to chase after that person? What does he want to do to him? You killed my relative, so what am I going to do to you? Kill you. And it happens to be that if he's not in the Ir Mikla, the Gaul Adam might find him and might actually take revenge and kill him. So you better go to the Ir Mikla if you want to save your life. If you're in the Ir Mikla, you're untouchable. So here the Chinuch says the way of the world is that that person will not stop at anything to find the one who did bad until he pays him back. Like, he did bad to me, I'm going to pay bad back to you. Oh, yachivuhu kemoshi chivam. Or I'm going to hurt you like you hurt me. Umizaha inyan, but regarding this matter, man enu Hashem yisparach. Hashem held back a Torah Jew from taking nekama, but Amro, like the pasuk says, and I read the pasuk, Lo sikon velo sitor es b'nei amecha. Ahavta recha kamocha, ani Hashem. The pasukim, many of the pasukim in Parshas Kedoshim end with the words ani Hashem, because Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, somebody might, you think nobody knows that you're bearing a grudge. Ani Hashem, I, God, know that you're bearing a grudge. You might lend him your sickle, but in your heart you're thinking, you couldn't lend me your hammer yesterday, and I'm lending you your sickle. So Hashem says, ani Hashem, I am God. I know everything that is in your heart. And the pasuk says, lo tikom, you can't take nekama. V'loshon sifra, and the sifra teaches, ad heichan kocha nekama, until where is the koach, the power of nekama? Amarlo, and this is what we saw in Rashi, hishilani magalecha, velo hishilu, lend me your farming instrument, your hatchet, your sickle, your hammer, your screwdriver. No. Lamachar, amarlo, tomorrow he comes and he says, oh, remember me, the guy who didn't lend you the tool yesterday? Hishilani kardumecha, please lend me your hatchet. Amarlo, eini mashiach al kederach shelo, yishalti di magalecha. You think I'm going to lend you my tool? You couldn't lend me your tool. I'm going to lend you my tool? So that we already saw in Rashi, the kach namar lo tikom, you cannot take nekama. Va'al kagon zahi kish kol hadvarim. I want to look up in English what that means. It applies to all situations similar to this illustration. So in other words, the Chazal and the Sifra are just giving us an example, but it applies to everything in this situation. You go to your neighbor for a cup of sugar, whatever. I don't think this would ever happen to any of us, but she says, I'm not lending you a cup of sugar. And lo and behold, that's Thursday. And tomorrow she comes to your door. She says, lend me, you know, a cup of honey. And you think, I'm going to lend you a cup of honey. Honey's much more expensive than sugar. And you couldn't even lend me sugar, and I'm going to lend you honey. So the Chinuch says that this applies to all sorts of situations. So I may bring this to you. Mishar Shei HaMitzvah. So the Chinuch always tells you the mitzvah, the source in the Chumash, the Shar Shei HaMitzvah, when it is no Hegas, B'chol Makom, B'chol Zman, B'zcharim, B'nekevos, only B'zcharim, when it applies. Mishar Shei HaMitzvah, what is the root of the mitzvah? This is, again, I saw it referenced in the Sefer Shalom Rav, by Rabbi Shalom Rosner. He does not quote the Lashon of the Chinuch extensively or at all. He references the Chinuch, and I went to my Sefer and I wanted to look it up. It's extremely powerful. Mishar Shei HaMitzvah. And as soon as I saw it, it was Sunday. I said, this is for Shari this week. Shei Yodea HaAdam V'yitein El Libo Ki Kol Asher Yikra Hu Mitov Ad Ra. Whoops, I did not mean to do that. Hu siba shatafo alav me'es Hashem baruch hu. The root of the mitzvah is, sheyodeya ha'adam, a person has to know, and not only know intellectually, v'yitein el libo, put it into your heart, ki kol asher yikro, anything that happens, mito from good, ad ra, see, to bad, hu siba shatafo alav me'es Hashem baruch hu. This guy was a shaliach. Whatever happens to you, that person is a shaliach. There is a reason that this came upon you from Hashem. Umiyad ha'adam, miyad ish achiv, lo yadavar bilti ratzon Hashem baruch hu. A person's hand, literally, from a person's hand, from the hand of your brother, nothing, lo yadavar bilti ratzon Hashem baruch hu. That person cannot do one single thing to you if Hashem does not want him to do something to you. If that's not ratzon Hashem, that bad thing, he says, tov ad ra, that won't happen if that's not the will of God. Al kein, and therefore, kishe yetzar ehu, from the word tsar, when someone causes you tsar, pain, aggravation, trouble, agmas nefesh, o yach iveyu, or he hurts you, o yach iveyu adam. Al kein, kishe yetzar ehu, o yach iveyu adam, when a person Okay, so it's not a natural event, like a person got sick, Lowell, they knew. Can't blame anybody. A person got sick, you recognize that that's clearly from Hashem. And it's a bad thing, and we have to work on knowing that this serves some good purpose, and we have to work on accepting it, and we have to say, at the same time that we say, Baruch Dayan Emes, Goshem Shem Varachem Al Tov, Kach Mevarachem Al Ra, we know intellectually Hashem sent this, and somehow it serves a good purpose, because it's called David Rachman Al-Tav Avid. But somehow there's a difference when someone does something to us and causes us tsar, pain, or causes us ko'ev, hurt. You have to know, Yodea binafsho ki avonasav garmo. You have to know, okay, I really don't want comments. I see someone commented, so before I even check the comment, I don't know if it's private or to the whole group, I was going to ask people to not comment because it's a little bit of a difficult chinuch till the end. We're learning the chinuch. I didn't even look at the comment yet. I don't even know who wrote it. Okay? I don't even know what it says. But a person has to know with his soul that the reason this bad thing happened to me is because my sins caused it to happen. V'Hashem Yisbarach Gazar Alav B'kach. When something bad happens to me, I have to know that this is what God decreed. V'lo Yashis Machshavosav Linkom Mimenu Kihu Eino Sibas Ra'aso. So why would I want to take nekama from somebody? Why would I want to take revenge from that person? That person is not the reason for this bad thing. Again, he uses the word ra'aso, his bad. That person is really not the reason that something bad happened to me. Ki ha'avon hu ha'misobi, because the sin is what caused this to happen. U'kamosha amar David alav ha'shalom, like David HaMelech says in a pasuk from Sefer Shmuel Beis, he nichulo v'yikalel ki amar lo Hashem, leave him alone and let him curse, because this is what Hashem said. I just want to see here. Yeah. And tala ha'inyan b'chato v'lo b'shimi ben gera. David HaMelech blamed him as sin. Anah, Shimi ben Gera. So again, an illustration that it wasn't the other person who did anything to me. It was my misdeed that Hashem decreed this should happen to me. Ve'od nimtza b'mitzvah zu to'alas rabba. And furthermore, we find in this mitzvah a great purpose. Lahashivas riv. U'laha'avir hashmatos milei b'nei adam. So Shmatos milei b'nei adam. He says there's an added benefit to not taking nekama, and the added benefit is that you will quell any discord. Lahashivas riv, to call lahashiv, shave. You'll put any argument to rest. Ulaha avir ham shatmos milei b'nei adam. I want to see what that word means. And remove hate from people's heart. I'm saying the word wrong. Hamas temos. You will remove quarrel and strife and hatred. So this is an additional benefit. The real reason you shouldn't take nakama, says the chinuch, is because that person really didn't do anything to you. If God would not have decreed that this bad event should not happen to you, it would not have happened to you. So who are you taking nakama against? Furthermore, an added benefit, you will quell any discord and you will remove hatred from the heart of man. In fact, the pasuk right before this pasuk, or two pasukim before this pasuk, one pasuk before. Lo tisna sechicha bilvavecha, you should not hate your brother in your heart. The pasuk that immediately preaches, don't take nakama. And that now you see why they're juxtaposed. If you don't hate your brother in your heart, of course you won't take nakama. You don't hate your brother, so you're not going to take revenge. Uvihios shalom ben anashim, ya'asa Hashem yisparach shalom lahem. Hashem will reward you mida keneged mida. When we cultivate peace between men, when I don't take nakama against someone who wronged me, Hashem will reward us and bring peace, lahem, to them. So that's an added benefit. You remove hatred, you quell discord, you put an end to arguments, amida keneg amida. When you are a baal shalom, Hashem will repay you back and he will bring you shalom. Dinei ha-mitzvah. What are the laws of the mitzvah? The chinuch is very, very clear. He brings you the source, he brings you the root of the mitzvah, he brings you the law of the mitzvah, and then he tells you when it is no heges, when it is in practice, and to which Israelites. Some mitzvahs are only for kings, some are only for kohanim, some are only for levim, some mitzvahs are only for women, some mitzvahs are only for men. Dinei ha-mitzvah, what are the laws of the mitzvah? Ktsarim, they're very short. Kfar zicharnu rabban lifnei hanira. So many have already mentioned them according to, as we've already made mention, as it would seem. So in other words, it's short and to the point. Don't take nakama is, apply the sickle, hatchet, hammer example to whatever example that happens. Don't take nakama. Lend me sugar, you didn't lend me honey. Can I borrow your car? I shall lend you my car. You didn't give me your car last year. Or even better, 5 years ago you didn't give me your hammer. I'm going to give you my sewing machine. The inyanim, the halachos are very short. That's what it is. But I really brought it to you and I really looked out for my own self. Before, I didn't even know I was going to teach a sachari this week. I looked out for my own self because I was very taken when I saw a reference to this chinuch. How should we look at bad that happens to us when there is an agent? Not when it's a natural event that we attribute to Hashem. It might be hard for me. I don't like it. Hashem, take it away. How could you do this to me? We daven, rifa'inu, we cry tears. Kol ha'sharim na'am, chutz mishari dima. All the gates of heaven are locked except the gates of tears. But nevertheless, I know it's from Hashem, whether I like it or not. I'm not mad at somebody else. But what about when something really bad happens? Forget the hammer and the hatchet and the sickle. I mean, sometimes people really hurt us with words. Sometimes people really hurt people not only with words. Financially, people take terrible advantage of other people, Rachmana Litzlan. V'nohegas b'chol makom v'chol zman b'zcharim v'nkevos. This applies in all place, in all times, in men and women. V'ha'over aleh, and someone who transgresses this mitzvah, v'kaveh b'libo lishno chaveiro, and he implants in his heart to hate his friend, al shaheirolo, because he caused bad to him, ad shigmaleo kiraso, until he pays him back the bad that he did to me, over alavza, your mamash, over this mitzvah. You have transgressed this lo tase, v'ra'aso rabba. Your bad is very great. Ki hu sibal atakala miraba, because you are the reason, excuse me, you are the cause of this, because you are the cause of this great misfortune. Imagine, your wickedness is bad because you're the reason for this great misfortune. Aval ein lo kenal ze alav, for this lav, you don't get malchus, lashes, lefisha ein bo maise, because there's no maise. So a lav that there's no maise, when you're over a lo tase, when there's no action, you don't get malchus. So that's today we don't give malchus to anybody. Anyway, I don't believe that that would go over so well today. The kolal ze, the klal ze ye biadcha. You should carry this principle with you everywhere. Shanam or alav she'ein bo maase, ein lo kin alav. Alav that there's no maase, you don't get malchus. She'afal pisha she'asa bo shum maase, ein lo. Okay, he's still talking about if you get malchus, you don't get malchus. Okay. V'tizkor davar zeh b'klan, ki davar baruhu. Wow, you should remember this. And its matter is very clear. We don't explain in other places. So I thought this was very powerful. When after I looked at that, I went to the next mitzvah, Reish Mem Beis, okay, 242. Shalol lintor, you should not bear a grudge. Shalol lintor, remember the bear a grudge one is, I will lend you my hammer, even though you were so stingy and you couldn't lend me your hatchet. Shalol lintor, klomar, you could turn on the light if you need. Klomar, shenimnanu milintar bilvavenu, mashahera lanu achan misrael. Just like by Nakama, we have been prevented in our hearts from bearing a grudge against someone who did bad for us, to us. Va'aval pi shenaskim b'nafshosenu, shelo l'shalem lo gmul amasav. Even though we're above the level of Nakama in a sense, because we have agreed in our souls, we're not going to pay him back the bad. So in other words, I'm going to lend him the building tool. Afilu bizchiras cheto belev levad nimnanu. We have even been prevented from remembering the sin in our heart. So it's not, that's bearing a grudge. In other words, in my heart, I carry a grudge against you. That's why the pasuk ends with ani Hashem, because God knows if you're over. Nakama, the guy's going to know if you took nakama, right? I'm not lending it to you, so he knows you took nakama. But I am lending it to you, and in your heart, you're thinking, I hate you. You couldn't lend me your car. I'm lending you your car. I'm going to give it to you anyway. So you are now bearing a grudge, and even the remembrance of the sin in the heart That alone we have been prevented from doing. Val Zanemar, like the Pasuk says, Lo Titar. Again, it's in Vayikra, Yutas, Yudchas, Veloshon Sifra, Adhechan, Kochosh, and Netira, and the Loshon of the Sifra, which Rashi quotes, until when is the power of Netira? Amarlo, Hashalini Magalecha, Veloishidu, lend me your sickle, and you don't lend it. Lamacha, Amarlo, Shalini Kardumecha, tomorrow he says, lend me your hatchet. Amarlo, Heilech, here it is. The Eini Kamoscha, but I'm not like you. Shalohi Shaltani Maglecha. When I came to you for a gardening tool, you didn't give it to me, but I'm going to give you mine anyway. Lakach Namar Velo Titor. And therefore it says, do not bear a grudge. Call Inyan Mitzvazu Kamitzvaz Hanikima Hakodemes. So I went to look up. I continued the learning in the Sefer here. He concludes the mitzvah of not bearing a grudge by saying everything that I already told you by Nakama. It applies to this mitzvah. So the commentary to Netira is very short because he elaborated and he says it's the exact same hashkafically. You should not view what happened to you as being from the person. In fact, it's Ratzon Hashem. If God didn't want it, let's just review that few words again before I stop the screen share and go to my next source. Sheyodea ha'adam v'yitena libo ki kol asher yikrel mitov adra hu siba shatavo olav me'es Hashem baruch hu. Don't worry, I'll translate in a minute. U'miyad ha'adam miyad yishachav lo yadavar bilti ratzon Hashem baruch hu. A person has to know intellectually and place it in his heart emotionally that everything that happens to him, whether it's good or bad, the reason that this came upon him is because it's from Hashem. And from the hand of that person, from the hand of your brother, nothing could happen without Ratzon Hashem. Al kein, and therefore, kishi yitzar'e, I'm reviewing, I know. Kishar tzar'e, when he causes you tsar, o yachi veyu, or he causes you pain, adam, when a man causes you tsar, pain, yodea benafsho, you have to know with your soul, ki avonosav garmo. It's very, very difficult. My sins caused this happen to me. The Hashem yisbarach gazar ala bekach, and Hashem decreed this upon me. And therefore, I should not turn my thoughts to take nekama. Kihu eno sibas raso, because that person is not the reason for this bad thing that happened to me. Ki ha'avon hu amisabib, the sin is what caused it to happen to me. Very strong. Now let me look at the comment, even though I didn't want any comments. Okay, very nice. Lo sikum v'lo sitar spenemech v'avderech kamoch ani Hashem. Very nice. Lo sikum v'lo sitar. The ani Hashem applies to all three mitzvos in that pasuk. Lo sikum ani Hashem. Lo sitar ani Hashem. Avderech kamoch ani Hashem. So Shani is suggesting that ani Hashem perhaps means lo sikum ani Hashem. Why would you take nakama? It's from me, Hashem. Very nice. So I'm going to quote from the biography of Rav Belsky Zatzal. And when I was learning through this piece of chinuch, it reminded me of this vignette from Rav Belsky. Okay? Rav Belsky's genius in learning. How many years ago was he nifter? A few years ago. Five? I can't keep track of time anymore. 5 years ago? I think so. Okay? Rav Belsky's genius in learning and in psak halacha was surpassed by his greatness in midos. And Rabelsky, they say about Rabelsky, not they say, Rabelsky knew kol ha'olam kulo through Torah. He knew astronomy, he knew astrology, he knew math. He would go into the kashrus plants for the OU and he would climb into the vats. He knew all of science, he knew medicine, he knew everything from Torah. So to say that his genius in learning was surpassed by his greatness in midos is a very strong statement. But as that means, if his learning was up there, then his midos were like higher than Everest. Rabelsky's genius in learning and in psak halacha was surpassed by his greatness in midos, recalls Rabbi Yehuda Kravitz, who headed the OU Kosher's meat industry supervision for 10 years as the Rav HaMachshir. And Rabbi Yehuda Kravitz recalled as follows. He was the Anav Mikol Adam. It's like I'm just closing the chat because I really do not want comments. I understand that this piece is difficult. You have to, don't hang up in the middle of Shir. First of all, if you didn't like what the chinuch said, so who are we to like what the chinuch said? That's first of all. Nobody. Second of all, I understand that it could be difficult. So it's a musser. I'm not talking about you. It's a musser for me. Third of all, you know, Which one of the Mefarshim? There's one Mefarshim that they say, I don't remember which one, on the Chumash and the Mikos Kudos. So one of the Mefarshim, people used to learn, I don't know if it's a true Maisa, but there's a point. People used to learn as Pshat and then become an Apikoros because he would ask all his questions first. And then he would give all the answers after. Instead of asking one question, answer. Second question, answer. So people would go through all the questions. They'd say, you know, that's a really geshmaka kasha. And then they would be too bored to learn through the rest. And they would leave with all the questions. So I understand that part of that chinuch was very difficult. But please don't get off before the end of shir. And if for some reason you need to, catch the end on Yud Torah. Because the end is going to put a help us with any doubts to understanding the chinuch that we may have. Because it doesn't mean I could do whatever I want to anybody. Okay, I understand your question. Hold your thoughts and please hold your comments and questions. I don't want to take them because I think it's going to be resolved at the end. Okay, Rabelski was the Anav Mikol Adam, the most humble of all men. Of course, it's a paraphrase from Moshe Rabbeinu. I saw evidence of this in many instances. I saw how visiting Rabbanim would insult him. And I specifically thought of this Davka vignette from the Rabelski biography. It's on page 49 if you have it. If you didn't read it, you should. It's a beautiful, beautiful biography about an incredible gadol. But when I specifically learned about lo sikum lo sitra as per the chinuch, for obvious reasons, this came to mind. I saw how visiting Rabbanim would insult him, and he would not react. He never said a bad word about them, not in their presence, and not after they had left. Another way of taking the comma is through words. Okay, you called me an idiot, I'm going to call you an idiot. Excuse me. His only interest was in clarifying the halacha la'amito, the truth of the law. When other distinguished poskim disagreed with his psak, he was ready and eager to discuss the issue. He was prepared to retract his psak, his decision in Jewish law, if he could be proven wrong. It wasn't his psak, it was what he deemed to be the Torah's viewpoint. If it could be shown that his psak halacha, what he said was correct according to Jewish law, was wrong, then he would retract. Whether or not his psak was popular meant nothing to him. Whether he received honor or insults was irrelevant. He was interested solely in the truth, nothing more, nothing less. I never saw him display a trace of anger. And there were instances he had every reason to be angry. Once, a visiting Rav was being disrespectful and was becoming more and more angry by the minute. When it became clear that it would be impossible to carry on a reasonable discussion with this visitor, Rabelski simply got up and left the room rather than respond. I saw this happen only once, that he actually walked out. All other times, he did not react at all to the insults. It was as if they were speaking about somebody else. If a person could see that when someone hurts me, whether it's with words, the words of the chinuch are tsa'ar or ko'ev. Okay, sometimes it's not through a hammer or a cup of sugar. Sometimes it's through words, and you want to take nekama. It's a natural human instinct, says the Sefer HaChinuch, to want to take nekama. So I thought that this was an example from a gadol that illustrates how gadol is able to hold back. He didn't react at all to insights. This is the line, the reason I brought it to you. It was as if they were speaking to somebody else about somebody else. I personally witnessed how Rabelski accorded honor and spoke pleasantly to Rabbanim who had acted towards him with disrespect. When he met them, it was as if nothing at all had happened. That's exactly what, by the way, just because I'm teaching these sources, it does not mean I'm on this level. I'm pointing out the sources, and this is a beautiful illustration of what the chinuch is talking about. Of course you could have my sickle, of course you could have my hammer, but not only with your mouth, with your lev shalem. It's as if they were insulting somebody else. He didn't react at all. He never spoke with them towards disrespect. When he met them again, it was as if nothing had happened. There was a certain individual who for years had caused Rabelski much heartache. When that person took seriously ill, Rabelski asked the Talmud, a student, to find out the person's Hebrew name so he could pray for that person's refuah, recovery. Knowing how much anguish this person caused Rabelski, the Talmud said, "How could you daven for someone who caused you so much aggravation?" So you could take nekama also through tefillah, chas v'sham. I'm not sure what kind of quality the tefillah has, but you could. Rabelski answered, listen to this carefully. When I go to sleep at night, I am not angry nor mad at anyone. I am moicho everyone. I forgive everyone. I don't hold a grudge. This is a direct quote against anyone. If you have the Rebelsky biography in art school, if you don't have it, you should go get it and read it. If you do have it, it's page 49 through 50. I'm not making up one word. Again, how could you daven for someone who caused you so much aggravation? Rebelsky answered, when I go to sleep at night, I'm not angry nor mad at anyone. I am moicho everyone. I do not hold a grudge against anyone. Direct quote. Lo sikon velo sitar spenei amecha. Then obviously, if you don't bear a grudge and don't take revenge, you will clearly love for your fellow what you love for yourself, including your sickle, your hammer, your honey, your car, your words, your tefillos. Ani Hashem, because I like Shani's pshat. Everything comes from Hashem. Why would you be mad? A Talmud of Rebelsky related. I knew someone who was in financial trouble. I set him up in a business. I put him on his feet. Instead of being grateful, he said something so nasty about me and made me cry. I told Rebelsky how hurt I felt by what the person said. Rebelsky said to me, it's time for you to learn Mussar. I did not understand, and the words are in bold in the book. I bolded should learn Mussar. He bolded should learn Mussar. But remember what the Chinuch says? A true Gadol B'Torah, says the Chinuch, he doesn't use those words, I'm paraphrasing, understands that that person really didn't do anything to me. It's from Hashem, so why would you be angry? I did not understand. I should learn Mussar? He should learn Mussar, I said to Rebelsky. No, said Rebelsky. You have to become a, it's Yiddish, der hoibener mensch, an exalted individual. You have to learn to be above this sort of thing. And for the next 2 years, Rebelsky learned Mussar together with me. One day, one more vignette before I go to the source that you can't get off before. One day, Rebelsky was in his classroom learning when a man entered and related. He worked for a Talmud of Rebelsky. Occasionally, he would speak disparagingly of Rebelsky. By the way, speech topics are also not only v'haftarecha kamocha, not only lo tisnes achicha b'vavecha, not only lo sikon v'lo sitar, but so is lo seilech rechil b'mecha. It's a package deal. Don't be a gossipmonger amongst your people. If you don't be a gossipmonger, you will not stand idly by while your brother's blood is being shed. If you don't speak gossip and stand idly by while your brother's blood is being shed proverbially through the power of words, of course you won't hate your brother in your heart. If you don't hate your brother in your heart, you will not take revenge nor bear a grudge. And then obviously you will love for everyone what you love for yourself. You see, there's a progression. The mitzvot make a lot of sense, of course, because they're given to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So one day Rebelsky was in his classroom and a man entered and related. He worked for a Talmud of Rebelsky. Occasionally he would speak disparagingly of Rebelsky, and he even told Rebelsky the negative comments he had made. The boss had warned him he would be fired if he continued such conduct. The practice continued and the boss fired him. The man had come to ask Rebelsky to intercede on the boss on his behalf. He even told him what he said and he got fired. And the boss said, I'm going to fire you. And he got fired. And it came to Rebelsky, please help me get back my job. Rebelsky called his former Talmud in the man's presence, and he said, you fired this man for the sake of my honor. If you're really concerned for my honor, then give this Yid back his parnasa. Okay. We're talking about true godless. The Torah demands godless. The Chavetz Chaim says, it's brought down in the biography of the Chavetz Chaim by Rabbi M. Yosher. Just because a man cannot be perfect does not negate his ability to strive to be good. I'm going to quote it exactly. It's right behind me on the shelf. I just want to make sure I say correct. The fact, I said it a little bit of a paraphrase because the sefer wasn't in front of me. The fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean he can therefore neglect his duty to be good. The fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean he can therefore neglect his duty to become good. So how exactly do we understand the chinuch? Could anyone do whatever they want to anybody else? Could you cause bad and pain to somebody else? Because it's Ratzon Hashem? Is that what we're learning? So I'm going to the Sefer called Shalom Rav, Insights on the Weekly Parsha, by Shalom Rosner. This is a new book. I was very excited. Someone gave me a year and a half ago, I think, Shalom Rav, Rav Rosner on Bereshis and Shmos. And I was so excited when I saw advertised in the newspapers about a month and a half ago that they came out with Vayikra Bamidbar and Devarim. Malki Feldman, are you on this call? I don't think she is tonight. I don't see her name. Anyway, Malki Feldman, thank you publicly. She's usually here, so I want to show her. So Tov gave me a gift card to the Judaica store, and this is one of the Sfarim I bought. So I'm putting it to good use, Malki. So it is in this Sefer that I first saw a reference to the Chinuch, at which point I went to learn the entire Chinuch on both taking a Nekama and bearing a grudge. There has to be some perspective, because this is a difficult Chinuch. And does it mean that I could do whatever I want to anybody? Clearly it can't mean that. We're responsible for our actions. So we need to put this into perspective a little bit. Okay? The title is Man as Subject and Object. Okay. By the way, the Rav, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik Zatzal, speaks about man as subject and object. And it's called Odi Dofeik and in other places. Also on commentary on Tefillah. Man is subject. You can control your destiny. Man is object. You can't control your fate. Okay. Lo sikom v'lo tzitor es b'nei amecha. You shall neither take revenge nor bear a grudge against the members of your people. If someone punches me, I'm quoting from the Sefer, it is a natural reaction to punch them back. Revenge is sweet and perhaps even equitable. Why does the Torah prohibit one from taking revenge? At this point, he quotes an excerpt from the Chinuch. I'm not going to record it. We already went through the whole Chinuch. And I repeated the main paragraph and the reason that I thought it was so relevant to this shiur, because in this shiur we grapple with, maybe you don't grapple with, I grapple with, how do we understand bad things? And usually, I think that when we talk about those bad things in the shiur, we're particularly talking about the things that Hashem sends directly to us. We don't usually address the idea that many bad things happen to people from the hand of someone else. Okay. The Chinuch explains, going to Rav Rosner, that everything that transpires in this world is the Ratzon Hashem, it's the will of God. If something good or bad occurs to us, we should not blame other people. Again, this is Rabbi Rosner's commentary on the Chinuch. Hashem uses them as pawns by which he carries out his desires. For whatever reason, that act or event was required to occur to us. From our perspective, the other individual who has conducted himself in a disturbing or painful manner is merely a tool. Tool, T-O-O-L, no pun intended, with the sickle on the hammer. An object, that person is an object, through which Hashem executes his will. Again, the Rav speaks about this at length in a number of different places. He actually talks about Hashem as subject and object, kaviyacha. Hashem is the absolute subject, but through tefillah, Hashem can be an object. He is influenced through our prayer, so to speak. Okay. That person's an object. An object has no control over its destiny. A rock is an object. If you pick up a rock and throw it, it's going to be thrown. If you pick up a rock and use it to smash open a coconut, it's going to smash open the coconut. It's an object. It's merely a tool in your hand. If you skip it over the lake, there will be rocks skipping over the ring, and there will be rings of water. From our perspective, the other individual who has conducted himself in a disturbing manner, he uses the word disturbing, painful, hurtful, harmful. We quoted four different stories about Rabelski, and he says, I go to sleep and I never have a grudge against anyone. That person is merely a tool. He is an object through which Hashem executes his will. That's from our perspective. So does that mean I could do whatever I want? From Hashem's perspective, however, so I think that's why I said you cannot hang up, because this is an extremely important clarification for us, for the Chinuch. And it's a necessary commentary for us to understand what the Chinuch is teaching when bad things happen to good people at the hand of somebody else. From my perspective, the Chinuch is saying you should view him as an object. That was God's will. From Hashem's perspective, however, that individual is a subject. Remember, a subject controls his destiny, an object cannot control his fate. And will be responsible for his actions. Okay? Don't be the person who causes somebody else pain. Why? Because God views you as a subject with Bechira Chafshis. So it depends whose perspective. The pained person, says the Chinuch, has to understand that this is what God wanted. I may not like it, just like I don't like many other things that happened to me. But nothing could happen to you if Hashem doesn't want it. But from God's perspective, He's not an inanimate rock. He's a person with Bechira Chavshi's free will. He is a subject. He will be responsible for his actions. Hashem will confer on such an individual an appropriate punishment. I think that's what Shani's next comment was. So very nice, Shani. I didn't read your comment before, but I saw it come up on the screen. So you preempted a little bit, okay? Hashem will confer on such an individual an appropriate punishment. So for those listening online, the Shani's comment was, Ani Hashem, how the Pasuk ends, He will avenge for you. Leave it to Him. You don't get to play God, which is really, in less fancy words, Shani's saying really what Rabbi Rosner is saying right here. You should view Him as an object. He's a tool. Hashem views Him as a subject. That person will be responsible for his actions. Quote, Hashem will confer on such an individual an appropriate punishment. But it is not for us to take that punishment into our own hands. If it was the will of God, we must accept it. I'm skipping some of his commentary. If you have the Sefer, you could read the whole thing, because we're out of time. But that's really his point. And I think that it's a very important perspective to help us understand the chinuch better. It's not a free rein to go do whatever you want to anybody. It's not a free rein to be cruel with your words. It's not a free rein to be stingy with the sugar and the honey and the hammer in your house. But when something happens to me from somebody else, am I Rebelsky? No. Am I ever going to be Rebelsky? Never, ever, ever in my life. As long as I live. Do I have to know the idea to which the Torah demands that I strive? Yes. Does it make me a little uncomfortable? Yes. Too bad for you, Michal Haaretz. The Torah is not politically correct, and the Torah is not always holding your hand. The Torah is always holding your hand, but it doesn't have to come down to my level. I have to go up to its level. It's a hard mitzvah. Like my brother, Rabbi Dov Fried, said to me many years ago, it stuck in my mind, Michal, just because something is hard for me doesn't mean I shouldn't work on it. So what's my perspective when a bad thing happens to me from somebody else? Michal, you're forbidden from taking revenge. You're forbidden from bearing a grudge. I don't know. It's a tremendously hard work. But I have to know at least here before I can put in my heart, says the chinuch, that was Ratzon Hashem. And if God didn't want it, it wouldn't have happened to me. But don't worry. Like Shani said, like Rabbi Rosner says, like the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem. From my perspective, he is Bechira. He chose to act in this way. He is very much a subject in control of his destiny, to paraphrase the Rav. And I will take care of him. I'm skipping the rest of Rabbi Rosner. I'm only concluding with his last two sentences, three sentences. It is difficult to bite the bullet and not take revenge on another for hurting us. Yet, once we understand that all that transpires is the will of Hashem, it becomes easier for us to accept the decree. When we act, we need to know we are responsible for our actions before Hashem. But at the same time, we must be forgiving to others who carry out His will. So I thought that, again, when I came across this chinuch on Sunday, immediately I said, this is important for Shari. Because we talk so much about when bad things happen to us. And usually we mean directly from Yad Hashem. But I'm sure that we have all encountered situations where the bad that has happened to us, sometimes it's minor and sometimes it's not so minor. Sometimes it's something like the hammer and okay, you can get over it. Some people can't, but the derech law, most people can. And sometimes it's something that lingers with you for years. And it might have long-term ramifications in your life. So as soon as I read this chinuch, I wanted to share it with you because we're working on this Indian together, I believe. So from my perspective, nothing would happen to me if God didn't want it. But don't worry. La'olacham l'chalig mar. Ani Hashem, says the Pasuk. I will take care of what needs to be taken care of. You, kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem. Your task is to be holy because I, God, am holy. My task, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, is to take care of he who causes pain to another. I hope everyone found it enlightening. I found it amazing. This year should be a schus aliyah neshama for Miriam Fron, Allah Hashem, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak. May her neshama have an aliyah in the olam haneshamo. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, a week of besoros tovos, halavai. I, and maybe you, should be zocha to implement the things that we learn here together, which really will lead us to a path of you shall be holy. Atem tiyuli mamechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. Eila hadvar mashar tedarbel b'nei Yisrael. Thank you so much. Thank you for your comments. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone. Besoros tovos. Thank you.